Lord, we thank you for him stepping up to the plate despite being scared and fearful. Lord, it is a fearful thing to bring teaching to the house of God. That, Lord, we should do it in fear and trembling and with respect, great respect for your word, Lord. So, Father, we thank you. We pray, O God, that you just settle him, let him move in the Holy Spirit right now, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. There you go, Brian.
Good morning, church. Good morning, Brian. As you can see, normally a preacher stands up, so we're doing it the other way. I'm sitting down, you're all standing up today. Jokes. Lord, I just want to say today, Lord, to you, thank you for giving me the courage to not step up here, but sit down up here. Lord, you're so good, Lord. There's no one better than you, Lord. No one more kinder than you, Lord. And Lord, if only we all realised how good you are to us, Lord, we'd probably be able to be more like you, Lord. So I pray, Lord, that whatever I speak today, let it be of you, Lord, and let it pierce people's hearts, Lord, and let people go out different when they come in, Lord. Ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you how I felt God's goodness in my life. At the age of 4, I had suspected meningitis. And through, even though my mum at the time didn't believe, she still prayed. And God's goodness pulled me through that. 2, from the age of 13 to 17, I suffered from epileptic fits. I was having up to 3 to 4 fits a day. After praying to God, I stopped taking my tablets. After 4 years of regular fits, I stopped having fits. I've not had none for 43 years, thanks to the goodness of God. Over the last 12 years, I've been in intensive care through pneumonia and my COPD 4 times. Each time, God has brought me through goodness of God yet again. 10 years ago, when I was in hospital, the doctors told me, unless I packed up smoking, I would have 3 to 5 years of life. I was really frightened. And there and then I said to the Lord, I need your help, Lord, because I can't do it myself. And there and then I threw my last packet of fags in the bin. And at that time I was smoking 40 to 60 fags a day. God did something, I don't know what it was. I never had an urge for the fag ever, at all. This August I've not smoked for 10 years. And that is down to the goodness of God. Yeah. And through God's goodness, the doctor said 3 to 5 years. God said, you're here as long as I want you on earth, Lord. And that's down to God. I could say so much about the goodness of God in my life, but I don't think you've got that much time. So I just want to talk about famous Christian people who have spoken about God's goodness. A.W. Tozer, I think it is, emphasised that God's goodness is an essential attribute, not something God possesses, but something that is deeply ingrained in his very being. Charles Spurgeon, in his commentary on Psalm 46, emphasised that God's goodness is not defined by the circumstances we experience, but by his presence with us in the midst of those circumstances. John Calvin wrote about God's goodness being hidden under wrath, suggesting that even in difficult times, God's goodness is still present and working for our ultimate benefit. Paul the Apostle, in his letter to the Romans, also emphasised that God's goodness is meant to lead people to repentance. This is going to be the shortest preach. I'm talking too fast. These are just a few examples, and many other Christians have written and spoken extensively about God's goodness. Their words constantly point to the idea that God's goodness is a foundational truth that provides comfort, motivation, and hope for believers. where God's goodness in the Bible is mentioned numerous times, but I'll just emphasise it on three occasions. In Genesis 1 to 2, God's creation, he says that after everything he created, it was all good. And it had to be all good because it was from God himself, which is good. He created the world and he said, it's all good. He created man and woman in his, and in his goodness, he provided for them. It was man and woman, foolishly deceived, decided that that wasn't good enough for them. If only they knew what we know now. And in the Exodus, oh, this is amazing. It's he provided a way for the Israelites to get away from Egypt. The Pharaoh decided to chase after them. What a fool. Did he not know God had their backs all along? God just parted them seas. And they just went through it. And then just as the last one, he must have been the very last Israelite got through, he thought, the sea came down and buried all the Egyptians who had chased after them. If only that they'd listened, especially the Pharaoh, to what Moses had said to them, it would have been a different story. And while they was in the wilderness, 40 years they was in the wilderness, they could have been out of it in 11 days, I reckon. They was in there for 40 years. And through reading through Exodus and different parts of Exodus, I believe they were there because they needed to be grown in God. They needed to know the right way. And in them 40 years, even though it must have been tough, God provided for them. In Exodus 16, 1 to 36, you can read these verses when you get home because we'll be all day if I have to read them out to you. He provided manna and quail to them. Exodus 17, verses 1 to 7. He provided water from the rock for them. So through all their 40 years in the wilderness, he still showed his goodness to them. How much more do we want to see his goodness? When we read through the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, we see God's goodness through Jesus numerous times. Through the many miracles Jesus performed, they reckon it would have been around 36 to 38, but it could have been as many as 50 miracles he performed in his time on earth. He didn't have to do it, but he just wanted to show God's goodness, and he did it. He healed blind people. He healed lame people. He even brought dead people back to life. We look at that and we think, how's that possible? How's that possible? Because nothing's impossible for God. That's how it's possible. And Lord, and then we look. And as we read in John, and we read about the crucifixion, but the even better part is resurrection. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever should believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life." Surely that shows you God's goodness there alone. I'm glad you said, Lisa, I'm glad you mentioned about your sister-in-law, because it's God's goodness that took her into heaven, because he didn't want to see her suffering here no more on earth. He wanted to take her to a place where she ain't suffering no more. So that's God's goodness, mates. It's all right, it's not the wind, it's my breathing.
They'll all think it's the Holy Spirit, I'll tell you.
No, no, no. see some more pieces of scripture that show God's goodness. Psalm 34, verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Psalm, why do you have to be so long? Psalms, why do you have to be so long? That's better. Well, come back to you. Psalms 107, verse 8 to 9. Oh, that man would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Psalm 119, verse... Not too far then. Sorry about this, people. Psalm 119, here we got it, verse 1 to 174. Psalm 119 verse 68. You are good and do good, teach me your statutes. Thank you. Stay there. James. Every good gift and every purpose. Sorry, I didn't even tell you what I was reading. James 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 34, verse 8. Psalm 34, verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. When you read through the Bible, you will see God's goodness is mentioned so many times. Then look at your own lives and then think how many times God has been good in your lives. My final thought for you all is to think where God has been in your life and where he's been good And Troy, and he is an odd one, Troy, when you leave today, to think tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. They're not Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Behave how you would on a Sunday. So Monday is Sunday, Tuesday is Sunday, Wednesday is Sunday, Thursday is Sunday, Friday is Sunday, and Saturday is Sunday. Behave how you would behave to God on a Sunday. Behave like that in a week. Show that to people in the week. Because if we don't behave like that, yes, we've got to preach his word, but we've also got to show that God exists in us. So people see that, I don't see no goodness in that person. He can't be following God because I don't see no goodness in him or her. So you know what? God is really good, isn't he? All the time. And yes, when we get to heaven, there'll be no more sorrow, no more tears, no more pain, no more heartache. But you know what? We can still have joy here on earth. We can have joy, not man's joy, but God's joy. We can all experience God's goodness. I look at this church and it's so totally different from when I first came in here 3-4 years ago. And you know what the difference is? I see a growing church of men and women who want to follow and be on fire for God. I see the plants that have been planted. And if God didn't want this church to do that, he wouldn't have done that. He'd have given it to another church. Yet again, God's goodness. God's goodness. Oh, God, he's so good. So that's my final word for you today. I hope you don't ask me again to preach. Well, you know what? I have a banter with Nick. I have a laugh with Nick. But you know what? He's my best bro. And you won't. I don't care who you talk about. Aaron, Billy Graham, any of them. They don't preach like Nick. Because you know what? When he preaches from the heart, not from the mind, from the heart. And if you don't like it, don't be coming to this church, because he ain't going to tickle your ears, mate. He's going to tell you truth, and sometimes those truths can hurt. They say the truth hurts, and that's because what he's telling you is the truth, and it's not him telling you. It's not him telling you. It's the Lord telling you. Because he puts that on Nick's heart. So yet again, he shows his goodness there. Oh, Lord, you are so good. You are so good. I just want to close in prayer. Lord, I thank you for getting me through today. Oh, Lord, it was hard, Lord. Well, it was you, because some of the stuff I said, Lord, I haven't even got written down, Lord. And I thank you for that, Lord. Lord, I pray as we go home, Lord, we will really think about your goodness, Lord. And we'll try our hardest to display some of that goodness, Lord. Oh, Lord, let us be good to our families and friends, Lord. Let us show our non-Christian friends your goodness, Lord, so they might have a different outlook of Christian life. And that they'll, because as you say, every knee will bow and every tongue confess. So that tells me everyone on earth is one day going to confess that you are Lord. And that's whether they want to or they don't want to, Lord. It is better that they want it, though, Lord. So I pray as we all go home today, Lord, I pray we go a different person than when we come in, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your goodness in my life. All my life, Lord, you have been good. People might say, well, how can you say that? I'll tell you how I can say it, because I can say it. You have been good, Lord. Yeah, we think, oh, we've had this happen, we've had that happen. But you know, a lot of the times we cause them things to happen to ourselves. So just thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for listening.